Have you ever asked yourself the question, what on earth is going on? Maybe it's in your own life, things just seem to be all over the place, and you simply, what's going on? Maybe as you look around, the chaos that just seems to surround us all the time at the moment, and we ask ourselves, what's going on? What on earth is going on? As we look at fuel shortages, price increases, gaps on supermarket shelves, climate change, problems with supply chains, natural disasters, turmoil on a world stage. It's all there. And certainly for myself, there are times I look at it and think, what on earth is going on? All this chaos. Where is God in all of this? Christine read for us from the book of Ezra. We've been looking at some of the incidents in that book over these past few weeks. We come now to these chapters 5 and 6. The Jews had been allowed to go back to Jerusalem. They'd been in exile. They're allowed to go back to Jerusalem. They're allowed to go back there to rebuild the temple and start to restore the city walls. And it's evident that God is at work. Through this King Cyrus, who has really no notion about God, God uses him. And the work starts. But as we looked at last week, it's a bit of a bumpy road. Because those who are involved in the building experience fear and discouragement and just downright opposition. So it's not straightforward. And then we read chapter 4. Thus the work on the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill. The work of building came to a standstill. What on earth is going on? Surely God had called these people. God had brought these people back from exile, back into Jerusalem, with the very specific task of rebuilding the temple and starting to restore the city walls. They had this. And now we read the work has come to a standstill. What's going on? But even though the work of building may have come to a standstill, God is still at work. And all of the fear and all of the discouragement and all of the opposition in this world will not stop his purposes. And that's what we need to catch hold of. In the times when we look around us and think, what on earth is going on? Why are things like this? We need to recall that nothing can stop the purposes of God. God is still at work. So we fast forward to the passage which Christine read for us, chapter 6. Not only is the temple completed, but there's this dedication of the temple. There's great joy as the temple is dedicated again to God. And they also celebrate the Passover, one of those big Jewish festivals in the year. This festival which remembered how God had rescued them. So, the work had come to a standstill, but now it's completed. Now there's joy. Now there's celebration. What on earth was going on? Well, the truth is that God was still working out his purposes. There were possibly people there in the building committee who thought, you know what, we had planned to build this all within a couple of years and not stopped. But God in his time brings it to completion. God's people were learning a big truth about God. And here it is from the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah simply looks at people who have their own plans, who have their own thoughts, who have their own agenda laid out. And Isaiah says, well, hold on a minute. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. neither are his ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than your ways, and his thoughts than your thoughts. And those people in Jerusalem were learning this great truth. Somebody has said that life is what happens when we're busy making plans. Are we good at making plans? We're good at deciding the next step or the next few steps or the next number of steps in our lives. Life is what happens when we're busy making plans. God is still at work. So when we ask, what on earth is going on? Whether it's back in Jerusalem, whether it's looking at the world stage, or whether it's looking at our own lives, what on earth is going on? Why aren't things unfolding the way that we thought they would, the way that we had planned them? It's because God in his wisdom has better, kinder ideas. God in his wisdom has better things. Our home groups this year will be, this autumn now, will be looking at the Discipleship Explored course. It's a course that examines the book of Philippians, and I really encourage you to be involved in that. It is a great course, and it will encourage us in our faith as we study together. But here's one of the quotes that we noticed during this week past. When we pray, God gives us exactly what we would ask for if we knew everything that he knows. God gives us exactly what we would ask for if we knew everything that he knows. God is at work. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways not our ways. His ways and his thoughts are as high as the heavens above the earth. But simply because we don't understand doesn't mean that God isn't at work. God is at work. The temple is completed. Celebrations are held in God's time according to his will, which the Bible reminds us God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. I don't know about you, but there are times when I think, you know, I'm quite glad things didn't work out the way I planned them. I'm quite glad I didn't get the answer to that I had hoped for. I'm glad that God is fulfilling his will, completing his purposes, which are good, pleasing, and perfect. This is the God, as we have sung, this is the God of all being, throned afar, the God in his majesty and might that we cannot begin to imagine, and yet he's involved in our details, yet to each loving heart how near. God is at work. God is at work. When Jesus died on the cross, it looked to those who were there as though God's plan had been totally derailed. This was a disaster. How could Jesus, the very Son of God, die on a cross? How could Jesus be buried in a tomb? And yet, thankfully, his ways are higher than our ways. For when Jesus died, he pays the price for our sin so that we don't have to pay that price. When Jesus rises again from the dead, he wins that victory over sin and death and hell, and he holds out to us the promise of eternal life. Thankfully, God's ways, his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are much higher than our ways. God's at work. Even, or perhaps especially in those times when we wonder what on earth is going on, God's at work, fulfilling his purposes. One of the other verses that comes up in the Discipleship Explored course that we have looked at so many times over the years here, which is so important. Paul says he is confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What's the good work he's begun? Salvation. God has saved you. The day of Christ Jesus will be his return when our salvation is brought to completion. It's God who takes the first steps in our salvation. God initiates our salvation. God who continues it. It is God who will one day bring it to its fulfillment. God is at work. God is at work. Working out his purposes and his ways sometimes seem mysterious to us, but they are perfect. The God who works in mysterious ways. I came across this quote from a man called Scotty Smith. He's an American Presbyterian pastor. If you have a chance to read any of his prayers or any of his books, do so. He is the most thought-provoking person. And I really encourage you to get a hold of his stuff. Scotty Smith. And here's what he says about God. Our Father uses slings and creek pebbles, floating axe heads, talking donkeys, fast food delivery ravens, even kids toting a few fish and loaves to accomplish his purposes. All through Scripture, people must have thought, what on earth is going on? This little shepherd boy up against this massive Goliath. Our Father uses slings and pebbles from a stream. He speaks through axe heads that float. He speaks through a donkey. Ravens deliver food to his prophet. Children bring a picnic along that feeds a vast crowd. Every time people looked and thought, what on earth is going on? God is working out his purposes. His hands are never tied, and nothing thwarts his will. So whenever you and I ask that question, whether we ask it out loud or whether we think it or whether it's just our attitude of what's going on here, when life doesn't make sense, we need to turn to the Jesus who is the author and perfecter of our faith. The one who starts our faith, the one who perfects it, who completes it. Our faith has its beginning in him and is also completed in him, in Jesus. So when life doesn't make sense, when the world around us doesn't make sense, let's turn to the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. We very often sing that wonderful hymn, In Christ Alone, and it has these couple of lines in it. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. So where do we turn when things don't make sense? We turn to the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. And we pray for the grace to trust him in the in-between. If Jesus is the beginning and Jesus is the end, then he controls the in-between and we can trust him. For this is the Jesus who gave his life for us. It is a thing most wonderful. The Jesus who gave his life for us. So that not only would we have eternal life, but in him we can be so confident that God is working out his purposes. What on earth is going on? God's at work. Jesus is to be praised. Let's pray together. Lord, there are lots of things that we just can't begin to understand. And forgive us when we allow it all to build up in us and to frustrate us and disappoint us. And help us, we pray, to have that confidence that Jesus is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Help us, Lord, not just to sing the words that Jesus commands our destiny, but to live in the truth of those words, so that each moment of each day makes sense because of Jesus. And all this we pray in his name. Amen.